been in prayer for this day ever since I didn't know what God wanted me to preach on. But one question I just want to ask, one thing that I prayed this morning, I says, Lord, he says that my presence will meet them at the door. I want to ask the question. God's presence, he said, will meet them at the door. How many, just a show of hands, how many of you felt something different when you crossed the threshold? You may be seated. A couple of other things I have to get through. God has a purpose for this. He's going to show me and you at the end. Last night, I was still reading, studying the Word. And for the last 6 months or so, I couldn't raise my hands like this, especially my right hand. Because of a rotator cuff, it ached something fierce. Last night, he told me to raise my hand. I raised my hand. Pain is gone. It started maybe 6 months or better ago. But a few weeks ago, I couldn't get out of the bed. When I first stepped out of the bed, my leg ached so bad that I had to hold on to get through from the bed to the bathroom. And it would take me to recover, a good little while to recover from that. This morning, when I rose, didn't have a doubt. I stepped out of the bed, walked, and I didn't really notice it until I took that second step. I said, whoa, what's going on here? I started to trot to the bathroom. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. In church, I don't know what's going on. I do know, but I don't know how God's going to handle it. I'm going to speak on, I think the topic that I have, the topic that I give you, Lord, help us to believe. Believing is seeing. I know in previous times, people has to see before they believe. But God also says believing is seeing. When we speak of natural things, of the natural, we are talking about things in accordance with the laws that God has established by which the world works. Science can exist because there are natural laws that, through the process of observation and testing, have been deemed to be consistently dependable so that we can live our lives based on those laws. We call them the laws of nature. But when we talk about supernatural, we are talking about when God trumps his own laws. He doesn't put himself in a box. That's why we can't put him in a box, saying that he's going to move this way. When I say this, I do that, he will move that way. Nope, he trumps his own laws. When God rises above his own laws to do something outside of those laws, he demonstrates that he is not limited to the natural of the laws of his law, but in fact supernatural, that he can supersede his own laws as he so chooses. I'm talking about believing is seeing. Experiencing the supernatural, we are discovering and have discovered already how God works based on faith to do things outside of the natural scheme of order of nature. Today is no different, but comes with a little twist. Jesus Christ, according to Mark chapter 2, verse 1, he says, When he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterwards, he was heard that he was home. He's come back. That means he already been there. Okay, let me summarize that. We're going back to with Jesus, letting you know what's going on right now. Because Jesus has hit a high. Because he's riding on a wave of popularity now. But if you go back to Mark 1st chapter, verse 37, when it says, Simon and the companions find him, and they say to him, everybody's looking for you. Where did you go? You're gone off. Everybody's looking for you. Jesus responds by saying in chapter 1, 38, the 38th verse, he says, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I can preach there also. For that is what I came for. In other words, the people want my miracles, but they don't want my sermons. So Jesus Christ takes us back to Capernaum. But after he takes us his break, he comes back. And that opens up a whole new stirring story. Now stay with me just a little while here. I think you will find some unique things here for your experience of the supernatural. Mark chapter 2, verse 2. This is another one of those familiar stories. Many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, as he was speaking to them. And in the midst of his sermon, something takes place. Verse 3. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. They came bringing to him a paralyzed individual. Uh-huh. Now, if he is paralyzed, he can't walk for some reason or another. His muscles have stopped working. Yeah. His limbs have stopped functioning. Uh-huh. And he is stuck in a condition that, guess what? He can't get out by himself. He is paralyzed. He can't get out of that predicament by himself. Here we have a man who is in a hopeless situation. He let me tell you you can tell when you're in a hopeless situation, when you can't get out by yourself. He can't get out of this man can't. He can't move on his own. Now, there are a lot of kinds of paralyzes that goes on. This is the obvious one, that this man, physical paralysis. But you can be mentally paralyzed, stuck in a mindset you can't shake. You can be circumstantially paralyzed by situations you can't get yourself out of. And you can be paralyzed by an addiction. You can be paralyzed by another person. Whatever it is has locked you in, holding you hostage, and you can't budge. You are stuck. Such was this man. He was paralyzed. And even if you're not paralyzed, you know someone who is. And the reason you know they're paralyzed, because they've been in the same predicament for years. Nothing has changed. For years, they're still complaining about how it is, but it never gets any better. Why? Because they're paralyzed. But the story introduces us to four other people. Now, we don't know their names, don't know their backgrounds, don't know their history, but it says that four men took this one man to the house. Four men took this one man to Jesus, guess what? To remove his paralysis. Now, right there, we are informed of a whole lot. Number one, We are informed that there were four people in this man's life who cared enough about his condition, even though he couldn't move. There were four men who cared for him enough. We'll call them his small group. It's his small group. So they were not only cared for him, but they knew where to take him. If we can get homeboy to Jesus, if we can get, that's where they need to take him. If we could get homeboy to Jesus, then we believe his circumstances, his life can change. Now, I don't know how long this man has been paralyzed, but however long it was a grown man that couldn't stand on his own two feet. Do you know any grown men who can't stand on their own two feet? Grown men who can't stand on their own two feet. You hear me? A grown man, but he can't stand on his own two feet. But he did have some brothers. He did have some people in his life who can help him stand up. So they carried him. Jesus was preaching, and four carried the one. And here is what we read, verse 4. Being unable to get him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they removed the roof above him, above Jesus. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. They lowered him right smack in front of Jesus. Hallelujah. What does that tell you? That tells you that they were not going to stop until something changed. This was not a casual commitment. This was not some brother who said, I'm going to fight for you until you get you to the one who can change you. So before I go any further, I need to ask you, anybody here should be, everybody here should be in one or two of those positions. You're either a paralytic, so you're in a situation you can't fix on your own, or you ought to be somebody's friend. So you can reach down and help somebody else to get to where they need to get the help from. Because one day, you may be in a paralytic. And you may need some folk in your circle, your group, who will not just leave you there. That's not to leave you there, just to languish there. But will reach down to help you get to where you need to go. You ought to be in one of those two categories. But today, unfortunately, we live in a day when people are just looking for their blessing. Believing is seeing. Watch this. Verse 5. Jesus seeing their faith. Now, Jesus seeing their faith. That says a lot. Not hearing them talk about their faith. Not examining the feelings of faith. But he said seeing their faith. In other words, this was a visible faith. And it was faith, but it was faith in motion. Faith moving. Faith that you could see. Not just talking faith. See, a lot of people can talk some faith now until when it hit the fan, they're still talking faith. They're talking faith, but it's not moving faith because they're waiting to see something first. But the Bible didn't say that. This man from Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12, man, you learn a whole lot. Jesus is telling you a whole lot about faith. He says faith got to be in motion. That, you know why I know I got to be in motion? Because it says that you know, you faith is moving. Faith, he says that we march, what he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith got to be in motion. Faith says, when I feel bad, I still got to walk on. Faith is walking faith. I believe so strong that when I'm walking, even though my head aches, even though my back aches, I'm going to walk straight as I can anyway because I have a faith healer. His name is Jesus. But if I can't, I should have a group of people that can carry me. Lift me up. Dig a hole and drop me in front of Jesus. Remember, I think the last time I gave you a definition of biblical faith for the believer, it is acting like God is telling you the truth. It's acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so. Why? Because Jesus said so. That is biblical faith. Biblical faith involve movement. That's why we call it walking by faith. And Jesus visualized their faith. He is feeling that thatched straw falling down on his head. He's looking up. What's going on here? Seeing this guy being lowered down. And he says, watching faith at work. The key word here is, watch this, T-H-E-I-R, there. There. Not his faith, their faith. When he saw their faith. Now, the paralytic had a little bit of faith because he is in that word there. It says, when Jesus didn't point out the four, he says, when I saw their faith. That means that folk, that guy that we're picking up, he was included in their faith. It's four guys plus the paralytic. But he had faith enough for the four to pick him up. Not only pick him up, to horse him up. And then drop him down so that he had faith enough to relinquish himself into their care of the caring people who are willing to put their trust in God to take him to because they know God can change him. Because sometimes when you have been hurt deep enough, long enough, strong enough, you don't have enough faith to believe it can happen to you. You heard that Jesus had done all this stuff for other folk, but you are not sure he can do it for you until some folk show up who believe where you can't believe, trust where you your trust is low, has become weak, and are willing to bring you to Jesus. He says, at the end of verse 5, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. That's a whole new story. We don't know the details of the story, but we know this much. There was a direct correlation between his sin and his circumstances. There was something wrong spiritually in his life that led and kept him in his paralysis. So watch this. before Jesus dealt with his circumstances, before Jesus dealt with his circumstances, he dealt with his spiritual reality. What you have to understand is, and not all negative circumstances are due to our personal sin. Jesus says, in this world, because Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulations. Some are just life realities, where life has realities to them. Sometimes stuff just happens, not because you sin, but something had to happen. Sometimes before you ask Jesus to do anything for you, we never check ourselves. What is wrong with me first? What have I done? But he says, Mister, before I change your circumstances, I have to deal with your spiritual condition. So what does that mean? It means the first thing you want to make sure of when you're asking God for a blessing, when you're asking God for a miracle, when you're asking God for a supernatural presence, is that the spiritual has been addressed. That you are coming before God and giving him the freedom to address sin so that now he is free to address your circumstances. Son, he says, your sins has been forgiven. So that man was willing to entrust himself to folk who could get him to Jesus. We want to entrust other folk. Folk with big names. We want to entrust ourselves to folk who have power, folk who have money, who have absolutely nothing or no concern about your spiritual condition. But in the world, they got a little something for you. So we want to put our trust into them. Just because they showed you a little something that can temporarily fix you. You better find some folk in your life who know how to get hold of Jesus and who are willing to open up the roof until they get you to the one that can deal with the spiritual. That means that the paralytic was willing to take the risk. He was willing to take the risk that these boys were going to drop him in on Jesus. He was willing to take the risk, and Jesus could help him. Now your sins are forgiven. He hadn't touched the man's circumstances yet. All he said was, your sins have been forgiven. The man still was paralyzed. But his spiritual condition is now right. And that's what you want. You want your spiritual condition to be right. That is, if you want God to intervene in your circumstances. Well, you want your spiritual to be right so God is free for the circumstances in accordance with his will. Well, the scribes were sitting there, and these are the note takers. They were taking notes. They're kind of silly, too. They were sitting there, and they were saying to everybody in their insides, in their heart, all of them were saying the same thing in their heart because it says in verse 6, they said, the scribes were sitting there, reasoning in their heart. That means thinking to themselves. Verse 7, Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Translation, this man is out of his mind. Talking about your sins are forgiven, acting like he is God. Then verse 8. Well, immediately, suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Now, they should have known something was different about this man, Jesus, because he told them what they were thinking about. Now, I told you they were stupid. Something had to be special about this man. He just told them what, just like somebody else. You know, God spoke to you when you couldn't, God gave you a word for me, when you don't know what's on my heart. I know what's on my heart, but you don't know, and you come up and tell me what's on my heart. I said, Jesus must have told you.
Hallelujah.
You all were just thinking about how could I, God can only do this. See, that ought to have been a clue. Then he asked the question. Now, this is a great question. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, it says, Jesus says, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to get up, or to say, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk? Watch this now. Jesus says, this is what we are going to do, guys. Verse 10, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth in history to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic in verse 11, I say to you, pick up your pallet and go home. Watch this part. Y'all not asleep, are you yet? I'm not going to be long. Don't fall asleep on me yet. When God deals with you and me spiritually, which means he has been free to address our sin, the spiritual comes first, just like it takes supernatural work for God to forgive, to address our circumstances. Once he addresses our circumstances, then he says, pick up your pallet and go home. The reason that he does supernatural in the circumstances that people can see to show them that he also deals with the spiritual, but he showed them the outcome that people want to see. They want to see something. That's why I concentrate on people when God does something for you. I'd like for you to just come out and tell God what he has done. Be a witness. Remember, when you're a witness of Christ, what you're doing, you are advertising Jesus. See, people want to see something. It's what they see. Sometimes, let me take a short break. Let me give you something else. Y'all know part of the story. God want to make sure your spirit is right before he do anything, before he intervene with your circumstances. In 2017, that's when they diagnosed me with cancer. But the doctor said, your numbers were indicating you had cancer back in 2010. I began blessing God right there.
Hallelujah.
He kept me at a safe distance.
Hallelujah.
Where it could be corrected, where it didn't consume my body for 7 years.
Hallelujah.
But that's not it. When somebody mentioned cancer, if somebody, that ain't right. Because when I was growing up, when I heard the word cancer, they weren't around long.
That's right.
But see, it's the testimony of people that gave me the strength to say, look, if God could do that to my brother, which was seemingly in worse condition, that should have been gone, but Satan couldn't take him. That should have been gone.
Hallelujah.
But his faith in God,
hallelujah,
his spiritual was right.
Yeah.
So God took care of his circumstances.
Right.
It was me looking at him,
hallelujah,
him sharing God's word with me,
yeah,
about himself, which gave me the strength,
hallelujah,
to continue on, knowing that God is the healer.
Hallelujah.
But it doesn't end there. God was still checking me out. They checked me every 4 to 6 months. Okay. So I had cancer. No big deal. God's going to take care of it, But see, by having that, my disability went up to 100%. With that 100%, Lord, I was able to. God says, bless, my bills were being caught up.
Amen.
We had stuff done to the house that needed to be done.
Amen.
God says, bless so-and-so with such and such.
Yes.
Oh, man, ooh, doggy. I love doing that part. Yeah. But I got checked it again. After 6 months, I got checked again. God said, oh, it's, and I got a letter, said, it's doing better. But if we're going to check you again in 6 more months, and it got down to almost that 6 more months. And you know, and I had to go back in for another test. And God asked me, what do you want? Your disability or your healing? Because I found out that once I'm healed, the disability gone. He asked me, I mean, I heard him just like loud, like I heard Sheila talking. He said, I told, yeah, I couldn't deny that one. I told Linda, I think I told you. God asked me, said, do you want your healing, or do you want your money, or your healing? I took a minute because I was enjoying life financially. I told the Lord, I said, look, you blessed me up to this point. I want my healing.
Amen. Amen.
So I went and got examined. They sent me a letter maybe about a week or so later. Let me know I've been healed.
Yeah.
Told Linda, I said, well, before I had the disability, God blessed me.
Yes,
I was doing the same thing. Blessing people when he said, it took me, it was a little bit harder now. I ain't going to tell you no tale. It's a little bit harder. Disability made it easier. But you know what? That was my last disability was November 2019. But do you know what? I'm giving out just as much now as I was before they cut it out. But see, he even blessed a little bit more there. You can't beat God's giving.
You can't.
That's why I say your testimonies are very important. Where was I? No, I said God. Thank you, sir. Start somewhere else different. Okay. So when some of you begin to live this faith, life of faith, and you watch God break through. Pastor Tony, I could use some word that may not be in your vocabulary. But I tell you, I'm so happy in God now. Oh, I'm going to help myself. So when you begin to live this life of faith and you watch God break through, this is something... He ain't just breaking through for you. He ain't. I told you, my mama said don't use ain't because it ain't right. He's not just breaking through for you so that you can feel better. He's not breaking through to you so you can live better, walk better, talk better, spend better. He is breaking through for you so that other folks can see what Jesus Christ, the Lord, has done in your life. And that you are spiritual, you have a spiritual relationship with him, which freed him up to handle your circumstances. In other words, your individual faith led to public sight. To draw public sight back to into yourself, your individual faith, your visible faith. And when he did that, it says that the man got up immediately. The man got up immediately. Jesus, you told me you're going to stop now. I told him he's going to let me know when to stop. He hadn't said anything yet. So guess what? I'm going a little further. Now let me tell you the secret of when you can pretty much know you're involved in the supernatural. It's not the only way God works, but it's the, I would say, dominant way that he works. When you can know that there is something and this ain't natural. When you can know when there's, is this God? Or is this natural or supernatural? I got to find out. You wonder sometimes. Well, the supernatural or not. You just wonder. You think, ever thought about, was this supernatural or wasn't it? Because sometimes it could be the natural things that happen to break through. And you say, well, I. One way you can tell, without a doubt, working out things, sometimes you're just not sure. But let me tell you, when you can be sure, it's as simple. It's the word immediately. Suddenly. Immediately. That means out of nowhere. That means, where did this come from? Yeah. That means, woo, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. How did that happen? We don't know for 38 years. This man suffered paralysis. But then immediately, suddenly, out of nowhere, he was able to take up his pallet. Throw that pallet away and walk home. This is something else. You know, with light, sometimes we are called on a doctor, which is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I need some medicine. I may need some surgery. But don't tell me immediately. I got my spiritual life right with God, and out of nowhere, God comes in, and suddenly, I got a call. I needed a job. I got a call immediately looking for me. got my life right with God, and now my life is right with God. I don't have to chase nobody. They come looking for me. And when God comes out of nowhere because you are in touch with him, and suddenly, immediately, he told me to get up. I don't have a job. I got a call. They called me. Get up and go to work. Got a call. My finances was rough. Get up. Go to the bank. Credit's bad. You paid your tithes because that's a spiritual thing now. He gonna handle the spiritual first. If you want him to bless your finances, what did he tell you? I want 10. Just give me 10%. I'll take that. If you give me that 10%, I'll take that 90% and blow your mind. Because immediately, the spiritual has been taken care of. So he will handle your circumstances financially. You know, God give me free fall now. I got a couple of pages, but he said forget about it. No one in here that knows how this church operates, that knows how many people in here that you should, if you're suffering a hard time, you get paralyzed in your mind, you get paralyzed in the condition that you're in, you may be paralyzed by some drugs or anything. If you get paralyzed, that means you're in a situation, you've been like that, we pray for you, back that way again. All you have to do, get somebody to pray with you, get your spirit right, so God can take care of your personal circumstances. Amen. It's just as simple as that. When I came in this morning, I asked Sister Linda, you know, that you, because one thing, I walked, no problem this morning. But one thing I noticed, it won't bother me, but my knee that I had surgery, but had swollen up. And that's why I asked her, because it was she feeling less pain or any pain at all? Because I know when mine would swell up, I'll feel more pain. But when it goes down, I didn't feel any pain. But I was praying for her had been through the same thing. So I asked her. And if anything hadn't happened, read 2 Mark 1 through 12. I had explained everything that it means. If anything that, you see, it doesn't have to be because of a sin. You know, that just doesn't happen all the time. It'd be because God is taking his time dealing with you with something. But once they take care of that something, you won't have that cane anymore. You won't. Reason I gave my cane up early, because it was hurting me. I go to the store. I had to find out somewhere to put my cane. I couldn't buy anything, and I put my cane here, and I pick up the merchandise, and then the cane will fall in the floor. I pick up the cane at the floor and try to grab it, and then it ain't fitting right, and I almost tripped over it. I just couldn't use it. I couldn't get used to it, but God ain't want me to get used to it. That's why I don't care how much it hurt. I pushed and bent until I got that leg where I can walk without it hurting. That's sometimes that's what we have to do. God says, I'm going to heal it, but what are you doing spiritually with it? If you know I'm going to heal it, I'm going to take care of it, but I'm walking faith. So you got to be doing something.
That's right.
We walk by faith. Faith that's moving.
Hallelujah.
Anyone here that's having any difficulty, you just stuck. Your mind has been paralyzed. In other words, it don't mean a bad thing. It means that God has a way for you to get back on the right track.
That's right.
Only thing you have to do is make sure that your spiritual life is right. Once you make sure your spiritual life is right, you just freed God up to take care of your circumstances. You just can't get any plainer than that.
That's right.
That's the way he operates. And then when you take care of that, you come here and tell somebody. advertise for God. This is what God, not what the devil did. We know what he did. We could see what he did or what he's trying to do or what he's keeping you from doing. But when you come free, you're walking just like this. Man, Linda, how long? About over 6 months. And it's been about that many weeks. When I got out of bed, and this I had to catch hold of something. And that's been over and over again for about 3-4 weeks. But when I finished reading this, I said, okay, Lord, I got to have some moving faith here now. But first of all, I'm going to make sure my spiritual life is straight. And that's when, see, when my spiritual life got straight, that's when he healed me of my cancer. Because, see, I had something holding on to. That money was looking good. See, that's that world. That's that natural stuff. But, see, that was going to come to an end. God let me know that was going to come to an end. So I said, well, you want your healing or do you want that money? I want that money because if I'd accepted that money, no telling how long I'd be to spend that money. Lord, it's good and he worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Anyone here needing a special prayer this morning? You're stuck in us. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're in a position that you just can't get out of. It doesn't seem you can get out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for a loving bunch of people who heard your word, received your word, and now it's going to act on your word. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for each and every miracle that you're going to perform on their circumstances as they render their life, they render their spirit over to you, Lord. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing, but you say it's greater things we're going to see yet. And Father, that's why I thank you, Father, for meeting your spirit, meeting, inviting us in. There's a reason for that. We have to come in with worship and praise on our heart, Lord. Not seeking anything, but you know, once we worship and praise you, then you said, once the praises goes up, the blessing's going to come down. And for God, let this burn this in their hearts right now, that they may not sin against you, but to glory in your name, to believe your word, believe that what you're telling them, you're telling them the truth, and they begin to act on the truth of your word. For this I ask all blessings over your people, ones that are here and the ones that aren't here. In Jesus' name, let us all shout hallelujah. Hallelujah.